Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 14th day of August, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Road Trip Report, and we do dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the Great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in Paleo, or ancient Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambeth. Callers are welcome, but we do ask that you please keep your comments or questions as short as possible so that others may participate. And as a reminder, we are in the question and answer mode here at freeconferencecall.com. Our website is www.pastordan, and that's all together, pastordan.net. And a word of information. Today, I was late getting back from the road trip, and I noticed that I am unable to log into my website. So I'm constantly having problems with the manager for the website. Just little things, irritants. So today I tried to log in and update the call schedule page, and it would not allow me to log in. So now that's another fly in the ointment that will have to be tracked down and found. Also, before we go any further, to just let you know, a week from tonight, I did get a message from John Mark, the young man that we interviewed some time back in our discussion with Propertarianism, and he will be back with some new information I think you're going to enjoy an awful lot. John Mark has made some very astute determinations of the way things are going right now. And yes, it does look dark out there. I'm not going to say it doesn't. However, below the radar, and certainly below the mainstream media, and even some of the alternative media, there are a lot of things going on, and not all of them are bad. There's a lot of things to say that the grassroots conservative people, which are predominantly the Israelite people, are beginning to wake up. They're beginning to realize that there is no coexistence with these Bolsheviks. That includes, of course, the communist, Zionist, Talmud-thumping Jews and their proselytes amongst the other races, including even elements of our own race. And so there is no coexistence with Bolsheviks. Again, all you have to do is go read the two seminal works of Alexander Solzhenitsyn of Russia, Gulag Apagelo, Archipelago, that's it, Archipelago. And then the other book is 200 Years Among Us, which is the history of Jews in Russia. These are both large works that Alexander Solzhenitsyn wrote. If you work your way through those, they tell you a lot, especially the book 200 Years Among Us, or with Us, where he talks about the machinations of the Jewish people in Tsarist Russia. And quite frankly, he's correct. He says that when people call it a Russian Revolution, it wasn't a Russian Revolution. It was a Bolshevik Revolution, meaning a Jewish revolution, a Jewish overthrow of the White Tsar and Tsarist Russia. And unfortunately, the same way they are working here in the United States and virtually every other white nation is how they did it there. Lenin, Trotsky, and $20 million of gold bullion out of New York City Jewish banks made their way in secret by train into Canada, and then from Canada by ship to Moscow to fuel this revolution against Christian Tsarist Russia. And of course, since the Jew owns most media, and today especially they do, and most of your printing houses and publishing houses, they write the story any way they want. And they're trying to make Tsarist Russia look like it was a terrible place to be, et cetera, when that's not the truth. The Tsar, for whatever reason, abdicated his throne to these Bolshevik demands rather than seeing unrest in his country, much as it was in the days of Christ when Pontius Pilate gave in to the same Bolshevik kind of behavior when they screamed for the blood of Christ instead of Barabbas. Pontius Pilate did the same thing the Tsar did. He said, I can't handle this kind of huge unrest. And so he just acquiesced to the demands of the Bolshevik Jews of that day and crucified Christ, an innocent man. He knew he was innocent. And the Tsar abdicated his throne, and what did he get for it? He had his family murdered about a year later. And why did they murder the Tsar and his entire family and their servants? Because the Russian people were beginning to see that the Jews had lied, and it was a Bolshevik Jewish revolution, not a Russian revolution, and that the Jews had no intentions of making Russia a paradise for the workers. And everybody would share equally, which is what they promoted. What they found out is Jews do what Jews always do. They'll tell you one thing and then they do something else. And what they did was set up a communist party regime where 2% of the very top people held almost all the wealth and all the power, and it was predominantly Jewish individuals in that top 2%. Look at America today. Look at England. Look at the European nations. They're all the same. So nothing new under the sun, as Solomon said. There's nothing new. So anyway, a week from tonight, John Mark will be my guest. That should be an absolutely phenomenal interview. I'm very much looking forward to that. John Mark is a young man, but he talks like an old soul, very rational thinking. He, of course, is being mentored by Kurt Doolittle. And the tenets of propertarianism fit hand in glove with the teachings of Scripture. So this will be a great interview. I also heard from an individual by the name of Mark, who is very familiar with the Matt Hale case, where Matt Hale has been held for 14 years in solitary confinement for simply promoting the Worldwide Church of the Creator, teaching from the white man's Bible, and teaching for pro-white causes. He has never harmed a soul. He never threatened anybody. He was turned in by a paid informant, and we all know how reliable they are. And a Jewish female judge was very instrumental in having him thrown into prison, kept in solitary confinement for 14 years. Now, again, no crime has been committed. Definition of a crime is a violation of another person's rights and predominantly physical violence being done to them. That's a crime. And in this case, there was no crime. They're trying to say that he talked to this paid informant about doing something harmful to this Jewish judge, when in fact he did not. And even if he had, so what? People say all kinds of things. It's not a crime until you do something. There is no such thing as a thought crime. Now, the Jews, of course, who are very much in charge of our judicial system in the Department of Justice, they want you to think they have a right to make your thoughts a crime or even your words a crime. But in fact, Anglo-Saxon law, which comes from the Bible, very, very clearly states, and so does our Constitution and all of our state constitutions and all of our organic documents, there is no crime committed when you just say something or you think something. If that were true, every Jew would be hanging from a rope today. Just stating a fact. If thoughts and words were actual crimes, every Jew in America would be strung up. Okay, there'd be a lot of other people strung up as well, but every Jew in America would be strung up, okay? If you could get their thoughts and or their words and make them public, they are certainly every bit as bad as what they're claiming Matt Hale said, or much, much worse. And yet, nothing's being done to them. So, again, another indicator of who controls America. As that one quote very clearly puts, if you want to figure out who is in control of your country, find out who it is that you cannot criticize. And it's obvious that in the white nations today, it's these imposters, these Israelite imposters called Jews. So, again, a week from tonight, John Mark, and then sometime in the very near future, it'll be Mark, and we will be discussing the plight of Matt Hale. And here's why, because whether you agree with Matt Hale and the Worldwide Church of the Creator or not is not the point. The point of it is, if they can do it to Matt, they can do it to all of us. Okay, he's an innocent man. I interviewed Matt Hale back, I think it was in 2002, when he either was getting ready to or had just run for state government. And he's a bar attorney. He went and got a law degree so that he could defend himself and church members. He is a concert violinist, if I remember right. Okay, so this is not your hardened criminal. This is not your dreadlocked piece of dirt that's down in the inner city raping or murdering somebody. He's just simply a white man sticking up for white rights and the truth. And some Jewish judge didn't like that, and so she took it upon herself to railroad him into jail. And again, the thing about this is, if they can do it to him, they can do it to all of us. So, once again, and Matt Hale's case proves it, we live in a kakistocracy, K-A-K-I-S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y, kakistocracy, defined as governance by the worst elements of society. Here we go again. Governance by the worst elements of society, who govern exclusively in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other classes, meaning you and me, folks, all of us. And that same thing could be said about the world with the nefarious Antichrist murdering Jew in it. They want to govern the world in their own interests and to the permanent detriment of all other races. Now, today they want you to think there is no such thing as a racial divide or whatever, that it's a social construct. Well, that's just not true. The Jews are from Genesis 3:15. They are the seed of the serpent. And you can spiritualize that if you want, but there's literal seed. In the Hebrew and in the Greek Septuagint, it's talking about literal seed. They are physical entities that walk amongst us. And they are up to no good. Again, the world will never be straightened out until the world solves the Jewish question. Okay? It's just the way it is, folks. Okay, I'm looking here for some other stuff I wanted to bring forth to you. But again, I'm just getting back from a road trip. There was some rest and relaxation time with the family, much needed. There were some other things that went on, somewhat surreal, to be honest with you. So there's things going on right now in both the physical realm that we live in, these 3D bodies, these organic bodies that we have, and in the spiritual world. Many of the YouTube channels like Coach Dave Live and some of the other ones like SGT Report, they're talking about the fact that the evil that has been unleashed on this world is almost indescribable. It's in your face. In your face. So, today, Coach Dave, and again, I don't agree with Coach Dave on everything, okay, obviously. He understands a lot, but he's also quite a bit that Coach Dave Dabamir does not understand. But he did a show today with a guy named Ron Brewer, and it was entitled Father and Fathering. they brought out some excellent points. And again, we don't have to agree with these individuals 100%. It's you chew up the food and spit out the bones. Okay, or as another way of putting it, you find the diamonds in the dung. Okay, you look for the diamonds and you keep them. The Bible puts it a different way, accept all things and keep that which is good. Meaning keep an open mind, allow these things to come in, let them swirl around in your brain waves there, in your thought patterns, and spit out the bones. Keep that which is good. Because that which is good is going to be what? It's going to be uplifting. It's going to be helpful. It's going to promote positive thoughts and positive energy. It's going to be helpful to you and those around you. Everything else is in the realm of negativity and no good for anybody. So if you get a chance, YouTube channel Coach Dave Live, catch that show today on the Father and Fathering. Again, people are beginning to figure out a lot of this stuff, and I'm going to tell you, we here at By Yahweh's Design, though we be a small station, you can tell that many of the things that we put into the ethers as far as our theology and our determining of the things that are going on around us and ascertaining what's happening. A lot of these connections that we're making are percolating through society, and now, 20 years later, a lot of these very almost verbatim discussions that we've had with different guests on the program, it's starting to percolate through the church world, it's percolating through the education system, it's percolating through the youth. I saw Ken Daly, is the name of his YouTube channel, Ken Daly. And there was a four-way discussion with James Edwards of the political cesspool was on with him, and Bill Johnson, and Paul Fromm from Canada. They had an excellent discussion about, is white nationalism on the rise? And yeah, actually it is. There's also an awakening going on. Coach Dave talked about some of the people in his circle, family and friends, whatever, that are starting to wake up. And Bill Johnson mentioned the same thing about his children and family, that up till now were very much dead set against many of the things we talk about. Same thing is happening in my family. For many years, they thought I was a complete nut job because we talk about the tough stuff here. And it was not what they wanted to hear. You know, the Bible does talk about the fact that our people would want to have their ears tickled. But when things get ugly enough, then people will pay attention more. When Yahweh applies the pain, whether it's economic pain, loss of family to the medical mafia or to violence, whatever, or wars for Jews, which we are constantly fighting wars against innocent people in this world for Jewish reasons. General Smedley Butler, United States Marine Corps general, wrote a little book called War is a Racket, and he basically admitted his entire career, and he was a highly decorated Marine Corps general. So he's not a fly-by-night individual, and he said it. I fought wars for moneyed interests. Now, for some reason, he didn't put the name Jew with it, but if you go back and look at the, quote, moneyed interests, or the financiers, or the corporations that he was fighting those wars and battles for, and overthrowing, doing regime change, and overthrowing duly elected government officials in other countries, he was doing it all for corporations and their profits. And I'll throw another one out for you there. John Kaminsky just wrote a great article talking about the fact that Hitler was a good guy. Nobody wants to hear that because the Jew propaganda says he was a bad guy. But when you look at what was going on, again, Hitler was a bad guy because he threatened the Jewish hegemony in world finance and business. Because National Socialist Germany was on the rise. And they could not stand that. And that means United States, Britain, and the Jews, the international financiers. They could not stand competition. They hate competition. How many Jewish international financiers and industrialists made a statement, and we always thought, oh, that was very profound, that competition's a sin to a Jew. Well, competition's what drives innovation and creating a better product and inefficiencies and things like that. That's what competition does for a white man, okay? But the Jew doesn't like that. He wants the game to be fixed and the cards stacked all in his favor so that he wins. He doesn't want to have to compete. That's why they're terrible athletes, really. They're terrible at any game or any social thing or any lifestyle where they have to compete on a level playing field. They hate that because they can't compete. Oh, there's a very rare exception. But again, we're not talking about exceptions. We're talking about generalities here. In general, as a race of people, as subhuman aliens that they are, they cannot compete. That's why they will not address a white man or actually anybody in an open debate on the issues. They always attack the person. They always sling mud, hoping that everybody gets focused on the mud and forget about the issues because they cannot address the issues. They don't have answers. They are the world's usurpers, exactly as the book of Genesis describes them, exactly as Christ described them in John chapter 8. And we have a caller, so let me get Gary here. Gary, welcome to the program, buddy. How you doing?
Okay, how's the pastor today?
Well, I'm doing fine. Little R&R did some good, but it's always nice to be home and back with my brothers and sisters and taking a look at what the heck's going on. It's hard to believe in just 6 days that I was away how much has happened.
Yeah, it's going to, I guess, close fast. But the thing that I never hear people talk about as rule is when they captured the Tsar and his family. Is that what he called the Tsar of Russia?
Yeah, the Tsar, yes.
And how they murdered these people, it was sickening.
Yeah, they butchered them.
But they tortured them in the way they butchered them. It was terrible. These people, I think we should go back and see what their origin is. If I'm not mistaken, I think they come out of Edom. They're terrible.
Yeah, they're inhuman, okay? A human being would not do that to another human being, even if you're angry. In anger, let's say if you walked in on somebody raping your wife, you wouldn't sit there and tear their innards out and mutilate their bodies and do all this other crap. You might take a gun and shoot them, okay, but you would not relish in cutting them open and tearing their organs out and dancing around with their intestines like the Russians did, the Jew Russians did with the Russian people. When they murdered the Ukrainian farmers and things like that, there's lots of eyewitness testimonies talking about the fact they did it.
100 million people were slaughtered in the Ukraine by these pigs, and I don't hear any Holocaust about that.
No.
Where's all the cry about Holocaust? You talk about some imaginary number called 6 million. There was only about 6 million Jews at that time in Europe. And
right.
They make this statement that, oh, we had a Holocaust, and you know, that's all they want to talk about. Or not, they got a new one now. If you start getting to the truth, oh, you're a racist.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what happened is the other day, it was last week, I was speaking, and they said, well, you're a racist. I said, yes, I am. It shocked them because they're used to a big defense and all this stuff. No, I am a racist. I know the difference between the races. Isn't that amazing, Dan? You know the difference. When you see a black guy, you're able to distinguish that he doesn't really look like you.
That's right.
It all, his hair is kinky. You know, his nose is flat on his face. His lips are large. The only thing that he can do, like we can do, and that's talk and think. And to my understanding, they don't think quite as good. Sometimes they're fast, but they've got a lot of white genes in them now because of the race mixing from when they were brought over here. But they're good football players. They're good basketball players. They're good athletes. Okay? That's what they are. They're good athletes. We have a few, but not as many as they. They have a whole bunch. I don't know if the breeding that they did to make them... Well, when they brought them over here, they didn't bring the weakest. They brought the strongest to be good slaves. As the word is in the Bible translated, also the same word we get the word servant from.
Right.
And, you know, so now they say, well, it sounds better if we use the word slave because that way we can make the white people feel ashamed of themselves.
Right.
What about the word servant? I mean, these people... They got to eat every day. I mean, if you have a horse, Dan, and he does work for you every day on your farm,
right.
How do you treat that animal? Run around slapping him and doing all that stuff?
No, of course not. You don't. No, of course not.
Because that horse makes you money.
That's right.
That's the same thing with these servants. They called them slaves, but they didn't treat them like that because they made them money.
The only slaves that got abused were the ones that caused trouble.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, if you had a dog, let's say you bred dogs and they were expensive dogs as they're thoroughbreds, and one of them all of a sudden became a biter, he was biting people and everything else, you'd put him down. Because even though he's part of your pack of dogs that are very well taken care of and making you a lot of money, if it becomes a rabid dog and it starts doing bad things, then you punish it, and up to and including putting it down. Well, the same thing happened with their workers. And you got to remember, there were white servants. There were white slaves, indentured servants and slaves. In fact,
they don't want to talk about them.
Well, they don't want to talk about it. The Irish were treated much worse than blacks were. And here's the other thing they don't ever want to talk about. Many slaves voluntarily stayed on the plantation rather than to be freed. They were offered their freedom, and they stayed slaves, much like the Bible talks about even the white people that were servants to, say, Greek masters or Roman masters or whatever. If they had a good working relationship and had been taken care of, many of them voluntarily stayed on.
Well, let's just put this in perspective here. First of all, if you went out and you had to do your work, You got to eat every day at breakfast time, at lunch time, at dinner time. You got clothed. You had a roof over your head. And you got to take a shower. Or they didn't have showers in, but you got to get cleaned up because they weren't going to have you stinking.
Right.
That, you know, so they were well taken care of from that perspective. And yet, to hear these Jews that brought them over here... Because you remember, the Muslims are the ones that captured them. Well, actually, the chiefs sold them to the Muslims. Then the Muslims sold them to the Jews for rum, and that was how their exchange with the blacks was rum. And they had that, and you go into their rot that they had. I think in South America, they go down and get the trees where they make the rum from and all that. But the issue is, the Jews are the ones that brought them over here. The Jews are the one that cry, oh, look here, you got a slave. Wait, but I just bought him from you.
Mm-hmm.
I just bought that slave from you. I didn't hear all that talk when you owned him. When you were making them do things for you, which were filthy, taking their women and raping them and getting them pregnant and having little mixed breeds. The Bible is, by the way, I think it's in 32:2 states that a bastard shall not enter into the kingdom even until his 10th generation. So what they're doing is they're forcing condemnation on those children. Everybody says, what's wrong with black marrying a white? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say about that.
Right.
Hey, the Bible says the marriage isn't condemned. It's the child. The child gets the wrath.
Right.
You know,
the sins of the father. The sins of the parents are visited upon the children.
Yes, and that's what happens. And nobody talks about that. See, somebody says, "What's wrong with that? Show me in the Bible where it says you're not to marry, you know, this and that." And they get you confused because you can't. There is places where you're supposed to separate things of that nature, but it doesn't come outright. But there is a place in there that talks about the offspring from that relationship. They're called bastards. We've got a whole nation full of bastards right now because of these, people, mainly women. Our women are running, sleeping in bed. If you're an athlete, shit, there's about 10 of them in line. It's a shame. It's terrible.
Well, in Exodus, when it talks about the Ten Commandments, the sixth law in the Septuagint, the sixth law is ukmukesus in the Greek, which means simply, do not mongrelize, do not hybridize, do not adulterate. They all mean the same thing. Do not pollute, do not mix. All right? So we weren't supposed to mix anything. We're not supposed to be mixing our dogs, cats, cattle, sheep, goats, no animals, and we're not to even do it with our plants, our trees, our vineyards. And if you're not supposed to do it to your plants and your animals, I think you can be safe to assume you're not to do it with your children either.
Well, you know, when you mentioned the dogs, and how they were killed, people. My brother had a hybrid, one of those black wiener dogs, dachshunds, and it would snap at you. You know, if you go to pet him, I guess you're paying wrong or something. Snap. Well, he snapped at my son. I said, "That's it, I got rid of that son of a bitch." I gave it to my brother. "Oh, he's a nice dog. He won't do anything. He really will bite you. If that son of a bitch bites me," he says, "I'll kill it." Well, guess what the little dog did? It bit him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and bit through his fingers, got a scar there today. He took that dog right down to the pound and said, "Put this away." He killed it. So when things are bad, it's like you said, they didn't even do like they do to the dogs.
Right. And, well, the other thing that they don't ever talk about, and Kenny, hang on there, buddy, we'll get to you here in a second. The other thing they don't talk about is the fact that the average slave cost almost as much as a car. They were expensive. So, mm-hmm. And people don't understand that. Who in his right mind would take something in today's dollars that cost you $35,000, $45,000 and go out and abuse it? You wouldn't do that. I mean, that's just completely idiotic. So we're being played on a lot of different issues, but let me bring Kenny into the conversation, and I'll bring you back on, Gary, okay?
Okay.
Ken, welcome to the program. Can you hear me? Kenny, can you hear me? Okay. I see that you've got your headset connected, but I'm not hearing anything. But I'm hearing typing. Hello, Kenny? Kenny from Mississippi, are you there? Okay, maybe not. All right, well, maybe that was a mistake then. Some people click the button that says that they want to make a comment when they're not even aware that that's what it's doing. So anyway, Gary, let me read this verse out of Revelation here, and then we can pick up where we were talking about. This is out of chapter 3, verses 14 and 20. "To the angel or messenger of the assembly in Laodicea write, the Amen or Amen, the faithful and true witness, the head of Yahweh's creation, says these things. Behold, I stand at the door and knock." That's our Messiah. That's our Heavenly Father. "I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come into him and will dine with him, and he with me." So here again, the Father stands at the door. You have control of the door. Okay, I just got a note from Kenny in Mississippi. Says, been a while. I tapped into a live show. Still no sound. Well, everybody else is getting sound. Let me let them know that. Sound is okay from this end. So we'll find out what the hell's going on there. But anyway, our Father stands at the door and knocks, but it takes an action from us, his sons and daughters. We have to hear his voice. What did Christ say? My children, hear my voice. So if you don't hear the voice of the Messiah, you're not one of his children. So these modern-day churches that are preaching this garbage that everything on two legs is a child of God and meant to be saved is just hogwash. No, it's not. So if you hear my voice and open
and
the door.
Open the door.
Okay, that would be the door
that
to your heart.
That would be the door to your heart.
Okay, we're getting feedback.
Okay,
somebody's
getting
got
feedback. Somebody's...
Okay, is that you, Kenny?
Can hear. Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can.
Okay, I got my camera on, and it's been a while since I tapped into the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm familiar with our friend Henry Kissinger, real infamous Antichrist, and... I'm not sure what our topic is tonight, but...
we were talking about...
Race mixing.
The race mixing was where we were at, right as you called in. The pushing of the race mixing and the anti-white hysteria that's out there right now.
All compliments of the leftist Antichrist misinformation press, the people that... managed the counterfeiting syndicates, bought up the media. Well, that's they have plenty of money to promote all that, and that's what alternative media is for.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're here tonight.
Absolutely. Yep, the alternative media has grown dramatically. That's why all the censorship is starting to show up in YouTube and Google and all these things, is because they did not anticipate the reaction of middle America to the lying mainstream media, and they did not anticipate so many people getting YouTube channels, learning how to make videos, learning how to edit videos, and put good pictures in there, and educational material, and backdrops. And some of them are very professionally done, and they're waking a lot of people up. I mean, everybody I talked to in the past week when I was away was fully aware that you cannot trust any mainstream media. And that goes for Fox News, by the way. You cannot trust them completely. And you certainly cannot trust anything coming out of Washington, D.C., or your state capital. They have all been infiltrated. It's been an insurrection by the Bolsheviks, and it's time the American people wake up. I saw a headline tonight right before airtime that was talking about Colonel Potter. I have a note here that Colonel Roy Potter, who has his own YouTube channel, was talking about he's reached the conclusion that there is no political solution, and Roy Potter, the colonel, has reached the place where he suspects Trump was put in there for the same reason that downtown white police Jay, who's been a guest on this program many times, he told us over a year ago, probably a year and a half ago, that watch out, Trump was put in there to placate the right, placate especially the white armed Christian men in America, to put them back, you know, get them to sit back down in their easy chairs and put their rifles away, because if Hillary had gotten in, war would have broken out at that point. So Trump was there to buy them some more time.
Well, you know what, Dan? You check out Trump. Where's he from? New York. He's a billionaire out of New York. How can you switch just like popping your fingers? It doesn't work that way. He's put there, I would say, what you just said. And people, you know, we all trust him. Oh, Trump said this. Trump said, he is a snake. You know, and they go crawl around in the grass and stay hidden, and all of a sudden they bite. So I think I'd have to agree with you. I mean, I like what he's doing now, but we don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. I mean, there's a lot of things he could get done, it appears like to me, a lot faster. And when you were talking about the Jews, who do people think started World War One, World War Two, Korean conflict, Vietnam conflict? I had friends that went to Vietnam, and I know his name was Fritz. He had a little tea bucket. You know, he knew he built it. It was really neat. He came back, his hand was blown off. Couldn't even drive his own tea bucket. I mean, it's terrible what's going on out there. It's awful. And this guy, these people have been our enemy from day one. And yet we allow these snakes, as it states in the scriptures, that Satan is a deceiver. And Satan is a plural word. It doesn't mean one guy. You know, that one guy is an aggressor to Christ. Okay? So is all of his children, which run around. They call themselves Jews. Oh, aren't they so wonderful? They're God's chosen people. How stupid can you be? When I was in church and I got saved and all the things, and then the pastor introduced a Jew to come up on the lectern and preach, but these are God's chosen people. He was a general in the Jew army. I'm sitting there going to myself, they don't even believe in Jesus. Our pastors talked about what they did to him. Look what they did to our Savior. All these things. I said, you got one standing up there and you say that's God's chosen people? What kind of a God are we serving? I'm a brand new Christian. You know, it's fortunate that I sat and listened and came back and started studying. I left the Catholic Church because of junk like that. You know, they infiltrate the churches and speak junk. You know, you've got all kinds of money all of a sudden going over to Israel. This president, the only thing I can say about Barack Obama is he said the Jews aren't it, but that's because he was a raghead. But now this president lets him back in. And then who's his top guy? Kushner, his son-in-law. And what's he? A Jew. Turned his daughter into an Antichrist Jew. And Trump can't see that. I really think I'm a little disturbed behind that.
Well, of course. And actually, Jared Kushner is Mossad. I'm convinced he was Mossad, and he was planted to be swoon Ivanka and get her into his clutches and to turn her. Now, Ken from Mississippi, you're still on the mic, Ken, if you want to jump in and talk about this. But I see your note here where you said Fox News is run by neocons, and it is. Rupert Murdoch was the owner. He sold it, but I think he sold it to another Jew. So it's always been Jewish run. And it's funny because I just saw a report this morning that was talking about Tucker Carlson may have been let go from Fox
Pastor
News.
Shepard Smith.
Yeah, they're bumping them off one at a time with Fox. I don't know how much the regular Fox News that they put on the radio is just as leftist as ABC or CNN.
So there we go. Yep. So you can't trust Fox News either.
You got Sean Hannity, who's he keeps repeating the FISA warrant stuff, and the redacted documents. Nothing about the Federal Reserve or the 9/11 or JFK or Clinton body count. Nothing relevant. Just.
He's a gatekeeper then. Right.
Yeah. Yep, that's so we're making our inroads on for 10 years, we had all kinds of stuff up on YouTube. And a lot of stuff is being censored, but a lot of stuff is still getting through. So you can keep reposting it under different names. All you got to do is change your channel name. And you may get shadow banned. You may get demonetized, but at least you're getting something downfield. The day will come when we'll have our own YouTube. We'll call it Our Tube.
Well, here's the question.
Pastor, a lot of people, I'm sorry, Pastor, but is the Bible, you have to go back to what does the Bible have to say about this? This is what I always say. The Bible says this guy is a great deceiver. It says he's a murderer, it's proven that, and he is the prince of the air. You know, so now we're talking about the airways, and guess who the prince is?
Mm-hmm.
Lucifer Absolutely. Himself.
Well, you got to remember, we are called the ambassadors or the many-membered body of Christ. We, as Christ's sons and daughters, represent Christ, don't we? Well, why is it so hard for people to understand that when the Jews do what they do, they are representing their Father, as Christ said in John chapter 8, you are of your father, the devil, Satan, Diablos. Okay, so why is that so hard to figure out? We collectively, by what we do, represent the King of Kings. Well, what they do collectively represents Ha Diablos in the Greek language, meaning the Antichrist, okay? The devil or the Antichrist or Ha Satan, the Satan. So, you know, why is that so hard to understand? Of course, they're doing the works of their father. Whether there's a single entity called Lucifer or whatever, it doesn't really matter. All of the Antichrist, John, the Apostle John, wrote of the fact that there were many Antichrists in his day. So just after the crucifixion, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of Antichrists. So the same people are here today. Now, my question is, if Colonel Potter's correct, which those of us on this channel have been talking about this for a long time, if Colonel Potter's correct, and Trump cannot be completely trusted, and there is no political solution, what does that leave us? Well, that's right. It's called a military coup. It's called a takeover of the illegitimate government, because we don't have a legitimate government right now. It is the military takeover of the interlopers, the fake, de facto, the de facto people in government today who are usurpers and interlopers because they don't have any legitimate place in there. They have violated the Constitution, which means they have violated their oath of office, and they're not only have violated the terms of their agreement for why they are public servants, but you could even go so far as to say they have committed treason, because under the color of law, they are forcing unconstitutional acts, edicts, regulations, and statutes on the American people when they have no authority. They are violators. Correct?
Well, Pastor, the thing that they do that nobody pays attention to is they swear to uphold the Constitution. And for instance, let's see if there's a place that we can, it's obvious to the most casual observer. The Second Amendment. You know, you are not to infringe, it says. You can't even talk about it. But they're talking about, you know, these are legislators talking about taking away our guns. Wait a minute, you're in violation. Now, the Rosenbergs, I don't even think they did as much as these clowns are doing, and they were sent to the gas chamber.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so out here going to the electric chair.
Well, that's,
we need to help them out.
We have traitors amongst us. Absolutely. So, you know, let me, I have a letter written by a let me get the letter up here for you, and I'll just read it for what he says here. His name is Lyle Rapaki. He runs what's called the Sentinel Intelligence Service, and he is has a PhD. He used to be in the military. He's done a lot of analytical work for government agencies and things like that. But he put out a letter today, and it was entitled Hosea 4:6, and all of us know what that talks about. Son of man, and he's going to quote here out of Ezekiel chapter 3, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Jacob Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. The role of a watchman is to warn and to teach. Then going to Ezekiel chapter 33, but if the watchman sees the storm coming and does not blow the horn so that the people are warned, and then the sword comes, meaning the enemy, the army, and takes any of them, I will hold the watchman responsible for their deaths. Because in effect, what you've done has been complicit with murder. You did not sound the warning. So this is the vision that Lyle had, I'm assuming, rather recently, since he just posted this. So for those who have eyes to see and ears to hear, now hear the sound, the shofar or trumpet of warning being blown. Seek wisdom and direction to prepare yourself. But not from man and not from institutions and not in sleepy, feel-good churches that spend time entertaining and speaking words that feel good but bring no positive change. Many, very many of those that call themselves a house of worship do not worship me nor prepare my people to stand against the mighty winds from the storm of justice I have unleashed on this land called America. Many, very many of these gatherings that meet in my name do not humble themselves, pray, and seek repentance, which moves me to bring restoration. My watchmen, including some I have called to apostolic roles, using their gifting to sound the alarm of a storm now released by my hand on this land called America, have been ignored. This storm of justice is like a mighty, mighty whirlwind, pulling apart every hidden and occultic thought, practice, belief, and agenda. That which has been deeply covered up shall be revealed, and many, many shall be confronted with the hidden natures in their inner being hidden from many, including their perception hidden from me. Many, many gatherings claiming to be my house of worship shall be confronted with a decision, a declaration they shall have to make and then act upon. I am calling a remnant to holiness, as my servant Isaiah declared in chapters 3 and 4. I am, which is representing Yahweh here, I am calling a remnant and have already begun empowering this remnant to stand against the war that is coming and already has been unleashed upon this land called America. Many, very many in the gathering places claiming to be my house of worship are too occupied with being entertained, not challenged to reflect or search their hearts for proper attitudes, even in the moments of receiving my discipline. Tell those who have ears to hear and eyes to see that my discipline is not to be confused with my punishment. I desire to discipline those whom I love, but many will be those who will refuse to receive my discipline, and they shall see the results of their stubborn and self-serving ways. Discipline and holiness work together for good. I am calling those who have ears to hear to walk in submission or cooperation with my plan, my ways. Not man's plans, nor man's ways, including those men leading gatherings claiming to be my house of worship. Now, Son of Man, share with my remnant and those who have ears to hear and eyes to see what I have been showing you. Thus saith Yahweh.
Well, you know, Pastor, you were reading that, and I was thinking, you know, I know this guy was my, is my, you know, he's a friend of mine, he was my boss, and I'm working for him now. He's a Jehovah's Witness, and he's got all these friends, and they have so-called Bible studies. They study from a Bible, and you can point out to them, you know, all the lies in their Bible. They still follow it, you know, and they, it's just, I can't believe they're that stupid, you know, and they swear to this stuff. And it just now, as you read that, talked about them, those who say, oh, you know, like Christ says, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that? How can you do something in his name when you're always calling him Jehovah?
Mm-hmm. You
know, something in Jesus' name, you say, Jesus. I mean, that's his name. Or if you want to go ahead and use the Hebrew name, you call him Yeshua. Yeshua.
Right.
You know, doing Jehovah's name. Jehovah's mentioned twice in the Bible. Twice. And that, they got this whole congregation of people believing this, what's his name, Judge Rutherford? I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we got a listener wants to know that the first two verses I read were out of Ezekiel 3, verse 17, and then chapter 33, verse 6. The rest of it was his vision, okay, that was given to him by the Holy Spirit. So much as a prophet of old, Lyle Rapaki was giving us a word that was given to him by the Holy Spirit to warn the people that are placated and sitting on their asses in these whitewashed sepulchers called churches, thinking they're doing service to the Almighty when in fact they're doing no such thing. So it's...
they're giving to John Hagee. What's the other guy with the curly hair that has that huge church?
Joel Osteen.
Yeah, all these kind of clowns are sitting back there, you know, saying whatever they need to say to get your money. You know, well, you got a guy that rides around in jet airplanes that he owns, yachts that he owns. You know, it was, if you can't see the example set down by Jerry Falwell, he did the same thing, and then when he won his office one day, he was dead. Where did he go now? He certainly can't go to Jesus because he never preached Jesus.
Well, yeah, these people have traded a short-term political gain and financial gain for eternity. That's why it says, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world but to lose his soul? I mean, how ignorant of people to not realize that, you know, we are energy and vibration, and we are souls, eternal souls in a three-dimensional body for now, but after this, we go back to where we came from. That's why it says ye must be born from above, meaning you came here from above so that you can go back to there. What is so hard to figure out about that?
My brother had an out-of-body experience, and he was up there, you know, to see where he was at. He said he saw all these people, and they all knew who he was. They all called him by name. They were all happy to see him. But it wasn't his time to be there. He wanted to stay there, though. And, you know, Jesus told him, says, no, you got to go back and take care of your wife and your responsibilities. You can't stay here. And I don't know why he went there. An angel took him there for some reason. He has been a preacher, but he's sort of ultra-conservative in the way that we don't agree with. He doesn't know who Israel is because he thinks everybody is Israel. You know, I don't know why he thinks that, but he does. And yes, there's a whole bunch of non-whites that will be saved. There's a difference from being saved and being part of the family. You know, I mean, we have a lot of friends. I know you have a lot of friends, Dan, but they certainly aren't your family. And you're not going to treat them like one of your children. You won't do that. I won't do that. If they're my friends, I'll treat them nice. And if they're in a bad way, I'll try to help them, things of that nature. But you're still not part of my family.
Right. So it's just like the woman in Matthew where he healed the daughter. Okay, the woman that was annoying him and said, you know, help my daughter. She's sick. She's vexed with an evil spirit and she's not well. And he just ignored her and kept on walking. And she kept coming along, tugging on his robe and basically, you know, oh, please, you got to save him. You got to save her. And it wasn't, he never did answer her. It was one of his disciples that said, "Master, would you please send this woman away? She's annoying." And he looked at the disciple. He didn't look at her. He looked at the disciple and said, "It's not good to give the children's bread to dogs." Can you just picture that conversation going on? Here's this woman with a sick child begging for mercy, and Christ doesn't even look at her. He doesn't look at her. He doesn't address her. He's talking to one of his 12 and says, "It's not good for me to give the blessings meant for my children to a dog."
He called her a dog.
He called her a dog, meaning somebody outside the family. Okay? And it's at that time is when she said, "Yes, I am a dog. I admit that. But don't dogs deserve the crumbs from their master's table?" Can you picture that? Can you picture her on her knees begging for her daughter's life and says, "Yeah, I'm a dog. I accept the fact that I'm a dog. But I'm asking for a crumb from my master's table." And that's when he says your faith is great.
It's like you got a pet dog. You know, he comes in. Well, when we were kids, there was a bunch of us kids. And the dog come in and sit next to one of us and look up and beg. You know, "Give me a piece of your whatever you're having." And then my dad say, "Get that dog out of here. He's sitting there begging." And he'd get out and he'd come right back. And that's what she did, and he finally recognized her for that. She was begging, and she was hungry for something that she couldn't do. And she knew the thing that happened right there and why Christ gave her her serving was she recognized over the apostles and all the rest out there who he is. He is God in the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think he said, "Look at the faith of this woman. In other words, she's not even one of us, and she knows who I am. What's your guys' problem?"
Exactly. Hey, I hear some pots and pans being scraped or something there in the background.
Washing the pot.
Okay.
They're just washing a pot.
Oh, okay.
They're smiling that she's been recognized.
All right. I wanted to read something here real quick. This was sent out by one of my regular members of my, I call it my intelligence community, people that feed me intel all the time. But they referred to Psalm 79 because they felt it applies to today so much. So I thought I'd share that real quick. This is a psalm by Asaph. Not David. Most of the Psalms, of course, are David, but this one's credited to Asaph. "Yahweh, the nations have come into your inheritance. They have defiled your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. They have given the dead bodies of your servants to be food for the birds of the sky, the flesh of your saints to the animals of the earth. Their blood they have shed like water around Jerusalem. There was no one to bury them. We have become a reproach to our neighbors, a scoffing and derision to those who are around us. How long, Yahweh, will your anger? Will you be angry forever? Will your jealousy burn like fire? Pour out your wrath on the nations that do not know you, on the kingdoms that do not call on your name. For they have devoured Jacob Israel and destroyed his homeland. Do not hold the iniquities of our forefathers against us. Let your tender mercies speedily meet us, for we are in desperate need. Help us, Yahweh God, of our salvation. For the glory of your name, deliver us and forgive us our sins for your name's sake. Why should the nations say, 'Where is their God?' Let it be known among the nations before our eyes that vengeance for your servants' blood is being poured out. Let the sighing of the prisoner come before you. According to the greatness of your power, preserve those who are sentenced to death. Pay back to our neighbors seven times into their bosom their reproach with which they have reproached you, Yahweh Lord. So we, your people and sheep of your pasture, will give you thanks forever. We will praise you forever to all generations. Hallelujah. It does apply for today. The enemy has come in like a flood, just like it says in the by the prophets. In the latter days, Satan has unleashed a flood, which is people, into the white nations, not for our good, not for our benefit, but to weaken us and divide us and to prepare us for slaughter. The Bolsheviks never take over a country any other way but by slaughter. That is why the Bolsheviks must disarm us. That's why all of these Jews in government at all levels and in the media and in Hollywood are all clamoring for disarmament. They don't plan on disarming themselves. They don't plan on disarming the Mossad or the Israeli Defense Force people. They don't plan on disarming the gangs and all these aliens that flooded in here, because that's their army. They want the white man and woman to be defenseless. And the preachers are setting up their congregations for the slaughter. It's pretty pathetic, wouldn't you say?
Well, Pastor, you know, Hillary, when she ran, you know, she was giving the enemy weapons. I mean, they found that out. I'm pretty sure that she didn't take away her weapons and Billy's weapons. But is you were talking about the Bolsheviks against the Ukrainian. I'll bet you they had gun control against the Ukraine so that they could not defend themselves when the Bolsheviks come in and did what they did.
Absolutely. They disarmed them. Yeah, they were completely without a way to defend themselves. They took every bit of their food that they had harvested from their grain and everything else, took every sack of food that they had in reserve, including the seed for the next planting, and just left them starved to death. Took all that grain into Moscow and the other large cities and fed all the Jews and the Jew collaborators while the Ukrainian farmers, their wives and their children, starved to death by the millions, at least 12 million Ukrainians alone. So, you know, you got all these bleeding hearts over a fictitious 6 million Jews, when in reality there were multiple tens of millions of innocent Germans, Ukrainians, Russians, Serbians, Chinese, etc., murdered by Bolshevik communism. And communism is Jewish.
Well, I think if you research the Bolsheviks and go back to their origin, I think you might end up right standing in the middle of Edom.
Oh, well, Edom Esau.
Yes.
Why do Jews like the color red?
That's right.
Okay. And Rothschild. What's Rothschild mean?
Yep.
And, red shield.
And all communism is called the Reds.
That's so, right.
Right back to Daddy Esau they go. And you know what? The churches can't even recognize this. Well, it says in there, Esau, I have enmity against forever. How long is forever? These preachers don't even know if that word exists. They're stupid. They're not stupid. They like the money. Let's preach about the money that you're going to get by worshiping God. My name is John Hagee. My name is that other guy's name. You know, this is all crap. I look at those guys, you know, and I don't know when the Savior's going to deal with them, but I hope it's soon.
Well, because if he didn't deal with them pretty soon, there would be no flesh saved. I mean, they're polluting. There's almost no organic food left. They're destroying the bees, so pretty soon we won't have any way for cross-pollination. I just read the article that says it's now going to be legitimate in Japan to create human and animal hybrids. So Japan, and I heard China is doing it as well, but in Japan they are working to create a human-animal hybrid. That is sick and demented on any and every level you can imagine. So we have gone so far off the path that we are screaming for his judgment on this earth. We're screaming for it.
Pastor, you know, it reminds me that I talk to people, and I always need it, is when they say, well, we're all humans. What's wrong with a black and a white? I can't see anything wrong with it. You know, God can't see anything wrong with it. They go on, I say, well, why does he call the child a bastard? The child from that particular couple is called a bastard by God, not by me, but by God.
Right.
If that is such a holy union, then why is he called the results of that union a bastard?
Well, also, when you do things Yahweh's way, good things are a result. When you create food or you raise your animals, as it talks about in there, when Jacob wanted to marry Rebekah, and, you know, he took care of the animals, he made sure they stayed pure, and the guy's flocks flourished when the neighboring flocks didn't. Why? Because they were interbreeding them. So, you know, you do it right, and there's a benefit. When you do it wrong, the hybridized animals are often sick. They have debilitating diseases. They have poor digestive systems. They are subject to allergies. And I know this firsthand because of mixed bred dogs that I've seen in some of my family's situation, where the puppies, where they kept the puppies anyway, and the puppies all have all kinds of problems. They're not healthy animals at all. And, you know, the same thing happens with people. If it wasn't for modern medicine, a large percentage of mixed breed children would not survive more than a year. Most of them would die either in abortion, spontaneous abortion, or they would die very quickly after being born, or most certainly would die within a few years of birth because of their debilitating problems. But modern medicine steps in and keeps them alive, and they think that that means that it's okay to do it. No, it's not. Just means you found a way around Yahweh's prevention. That's all. Yep. Just like the smelling part. When you put woman with a black man, you can't tell me there isn't an odor problem there. Okay? But what do? They go down and buy Chanel No. 5 or some cologne, and they spray their whole bodies with it. So they have invented a way around the prohibition that God created, which was the fact that each race has a peculiar body scent. Okay, it's not necessarily an odor, it's a scent. It's a scent that is offensive to those that are not of your kind, but those of your kind, it's actually an aphrodisiac. It is an attractant, okay? So, you know, his plan is perfect. But man constantly wants to step in through chemistry, research, whatever, and figure out ways around the prohibitions that our Father put there to keep us straight.
Well, you know, Pastor, I used to be a fighter, professional pugilist. And I used to, you know, fight the blacks. They like that. And when you tie each other up and what have you, they stink. You know, you can tell, they smell bad. But it never bothered them, I guess. And I can't see how our women can pass that up. We got some really dummies out there. And these women that I've seen, especially with these football players, they're good-looking women. It's just that their brains are right in their rear end. They need a rectal cranial transplant, like, right now.
Well,
they're crazy.
Evil prevails when good men, when the men who know better, aren't doing anything. But the good news is that the watchmen on the wall, their numbers are increasing and the number of people sounding the alarm is increasing. And that's why I'm looking forward to this conversation next week with John Mark, because we're going to be talking about a lot of the indicators that are saying that we're getting awful close, and even Colonel Potter has been talking about the need to make preparations. And so have many other people. Red Pill Elephants, James Edwards, or Vincent James, I'm sorry, Vincent James. He's been putting out a lot of information about that. Colonel Potter obviously has. John Mark has been doing it, and SGT report, and on and on and on. Okay, so if people are paying attention, then the warning will be heeded, and those that pay attention, in other words, as Christ said in the scripture we read in the book of Revelation, I am at the door knocking, okay? I'm at your computer talking to you through the speakers. I am in the books on your shelf. I am in the Bible sitting there collecting dust in your bookcase, okay, or on your nightstand. I am on the radio. I am on the downloads talking to you. Are you listening? You have to physically do something to let his voice, whether it's through the Holy Spirit in prayer or whether it's listening to a watchman talking to you. You physically have to open the door to your mind and your soul to allow the message to come in. Does that make sense?
Well, you know, Pastor, one of the biggest things I think that really irritates Christ is this race mixing. Of course, that's the bugaboo of mine, but, you know, people say, well, you know, we're all God's creation. I said, that's not his creation. He created a Caucasian woman. He created that. That black man, or black, and they're not men, they're called male. That black male is also a creation of God. Those two are creations of God. But when they come together and she has gets, and he gets her pregnant, she has that. That is not God's creation. He didn't create that. You guys did. That's man's creation.
Right.
Okay, that little child is not of God. That little child is of you guys.
Right.
And people get a little upset with me when I say things like that.
Well.
They start calling me funny names, you know, like racist and anti-Semite. And I say, that's the best you got?
Well, that's it. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me.
Well,
you can call me names all day. Huh?
They call me a racist, and they're right. I know the difference between the races. God put these two orbs in my head called eyes, and I can see. This guy with the flat nose, the big lips, and the kinky hair does not look like her when she's got blonde hair and blue eyes, and her hair is straight.
Oh, yeah.
And skin is white, and his is black. You think I'm stupid? Well, we can do. Yeah, look what you can do. You can deny Christ. That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're denying the master. The master said this. You guys are in total denial. Well,
right.
There's a price to pay for that.
There's another important issue I need to talk about here. I was contacted by a farmer in Pennsylvania. And he has an organic farm there. I'm not sure how big it is, but it's fairly large. And he wants workers from South Africa. He wants to help people in South Africa come here to work on his farm. So I want the word to go out to anybody with connections. I've got two connections in South Africa. I'm going to contact them tomorrow. But if anybody listening has a connection to folks in South Africa and they know of anybody who would like to come to the States and work on his farm, let me know. And I will pass that on to the gentleman, and then that he can work on getting them over here. So it's a small thing, but if he can help 3, 4, 5, 6 of the South African folks escape that hellhole they've got over there and come over here and work on a good old-fashioned white man's farm and, you know, be away from that violence and that sickening situation over there, that'd be a wonderful thing. So everybody pray on it. And then if you do have a connection, pass it on to me. And in the meantime, I will work through the people I know over there. It's a shame that James Lancey, that was on the program, that was his dream, was to do this sort of thing, and he's dropped off the radar screen, just like Jay with Downtown White police dropped off the radar screen. Michael in South Carolina dropped off the radar screen. So I don't know what the hell happened to these individuals, you know, but all of a sudden they've disappeared. So I don't know if they were playing us. I don't know if there's something wrong there that the father is separating us. I don't know. I don't know, but I find it very odd.
We do have an enemy, and he is against the Caucasian race. I mean, South Africans are not a real popular people even before their war happened. They weren't real popular. I think they were starting to get popular right before they had their war. But we don't have too many Caucasians throughout the world that are popular because the enemy is quieting that down. I mean, they jump in on, like, your radio station. They jump in on a whole bunch of them, and they take them off the air.
Well, they're playing with it because, like I said, my website is giving me fits yet again, and they're doing it to a lot of people. So I guess I shouldn't complain. You know, there's a lot of truthers out there that are being harassed and demonetized and shadow banned and all the other things that the Bolsheviks do to shut down dissenters from their Bolshevik takeover of our country. So
it's amazing. We put together, here's a simple thing that happened back in 1400s. You know, we had one of our people discovered America, as they say, and then there came a time when those from England came over here, and some from the other white countries came over here. They fought, lost lives, and what have you, to come together and have something, a start. Then they come together, and they, with their geniuses, they could speak Greek, they could speak Latin, they could speak English, they could speak German, they could speak a whole ton of languages. And they put together what is called today the Constitution. The white guys did that. I didn't see no black guy. I didn't say the black guys did that. They didn't say the Jews did that. They didn't say the Mexicans did that. It's the white guys, Caucasians. They put that together. As soon as they come together under this document that they had and started to grow, then all these others come in to take because they can't do it on their own in their own country. All these Mexicans are coming over. My gosh, you got a land that can produce as much as the United States. What seems to be your major malfunction? And see, you and I know what it is. They have not the ability to do it. They can't structure a proper government because somebody's going to come in there and want to steal, want to put you in slavery for himself. And so when they come over here, that's exactly what they do. And, of course, we know who the enemy is, the Jews. They check out those billionaires back east. They're all Jews. The only one that's not is Trump. Of course, Trump's got a lot of Jews in his family.
Well, so, we don't. It's one man is not what this movement's all about. You know that. You know, and Trump is not a messiah. He's just a man, okay. And unfortunately, he's a man surrounded by a ton of the swamp creatures. So, you know, putting our trust in that one man in that position is idiotic, actually. This is a movement. And like I said, Colonel Potter and many, many others are coming to the conclusion. So are the libertarians, the proprietarians, and everybody else. We cannot coexist with these Bolsheviks, and a peaceful separation is appearing that is not going to be available to us. Therefore, there is only one other option that's left on the table, and that is for us to go back to 50 sovereign states and activate the citizens' militia in every one of those states, because your government officials are actually doing the work of the Bolsheviks. They're working with the Bolsheviks. So a government official needs to take a stand against them or be counted with them. You can't have it both ways. You're either against them or you're going to stand with them. and they stand counter to both the God of the Bible and our founding fathers. So, you know, they're the ones that are in the precarious position. I know it looks like we are, but actually it's them. So when Yahweh's judgment comes down upon their heads, they have no one else to blame but themselves. You know, the watchmen have been warning everybody. These
well,
words,
Pastor,
you know.
Pastor, one thing that I think everybody forgets, they had this fellow named Ronald Reagan, and when he was in there, everybody did exactly what they're doing with Trump right now. They fell asleep. And the next thing you know, what did we have? We had one of the most wicked men in this country, Bush, and his family come into power. The next thing you know, we had all kinds of problems.
Right.
You know, because we fell asleep. We would not do what we're supposed to do.
Yeah, Ken from Mississippi's got an interesting statistics here. He says the map of the U.S. rabbi locations is the same as the blue state map. It's also the same as the concentration of non-white invaders. Let's stop calling them immigrants and refugees and all these nonsensical terms. They're invaders.
They're illegal aliens.
They're invaders. Okay? They have no legal standing. That was determined by the United States Supreme Court in the late 1800s that a non-white has no standing before the Supreme Court. Because the Constitution was written for the white man and his people.
Oh, you're a racist.
Well, it does. No, I'm a realist. Okay, I'm a pragmatist. That's all. And I read history and historicity, which is true history versus the lies and deceptions of the history changers out there. Historicity is verifiable, truthful history. And most of our textbooks and schools do not teach historicity. They teach Jewish fables called history courses, which is nothing more than propaganda to get us to think something existed in the past when it really didn't. So, but anyway, I think we're getting close to the end here. Gary, if you have any closing remarks before we need to sign off for tonight.
Well, I just would ask that the people, they're listening to this show. When they get in a conversation and somebody tries to shut you up with calling you names, do like I did. When they said, I'm a racist, I said, you're right. I can recognize the differences between the races. And it doesn't take a very wise man to do that. When I see a blue-eyed blonde woman over here, straight hair, and I see a guy that's got big lips, flat nose, skin is black, hair is kinky, and I notice there's a difference, and you don't, who's stupid here? Who's the real racist?
Well, the truth always prevails. That's the one thing we have to remember. Okay, right now, only because of their tremendous artificial wealth, by generating usury and money that's not really existing, it's created out of thin air. That's a fake and a phony system. It will be destroyed soon. Because of that kind of power and control, they're able to skew everything. But in the end, it won't prevail because it's wrong. It's evil. It's just like mixing animals and humans to create some hybrid. You might get government permission to do it, but Yahweh has condemned that. Uk mukesos in the Greek language. You cannot create hybrids. You're playing God, and his judgment will come. It'll come as same as the sun rising in the east tomorrow morning.
Well,
it's coming.
That's what little bastards, that's us creating something, hybrids. We're not supposed to be doing that. And see, a lot of people say, oh, they're just little humans. Aren't they cute? Doodle, doodle, doodle. You don't know. That is a hybrid.
I'm going to try to bring Janice Barcelo back on to talk about what the Wi-Fi and all these different electronic bombardments that are going through our heads and our bodies by all these antennas and cell towers and everything else. we're going to talk about what it's doing to our children. If you've noticed that a lot of people have very short tempers anymore, almost nobody has any kind of manners or human kindness anymore. Everybody is being belligerent. And again, maybe not every single person, but we're talking in generalities here. There's a lot of animosity. There's a lot of poor mannerisms and poor deportment of our people. And this pollution by radio frequency energy is probably having a lot to do with that. So, and Ralph says here, anyone that thinks we should not hate the descendants of Cain should read Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Amen. And even King David said, I hate your enemies, meaning Yahweh's enemies, with a perfect hatred. So, you know, again, the modern-day preachers are doing the work of the Baal priests in the Bible, and the Baal priests were to teach the status quo of the politicians to the detriment of the people. They were, and that's why they were destroyed many times, utterly destroyed, because they were leading the sheep to the slaughter. And that's what the modern-day church world's doing. So, but anyway, final comments, Gary? Anything before we... say goodnight?
Yes, there is. I ask that Yahweh, through Jesus the Christ, Yeshua, bless Pastor Dan and his radio station and the people that serve him, that give him the information to be able to pass on to us. And I say this in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. Amen.
Oh, amen. Very good, Gary. So you guys, you and Elka, take care, and we'll talk soon. Yahweh bless your hearts, and again, we'll be back together real soon, okay? And thank you for the prayer. Yah bless. And I'll see if Kenny had any closing remarks here. Kenny, did you have any closing remarks before we say goodnight?
Yeah, the message is clear, you know. We just need to build up our communication channels and shun the enemy. Don't cat. The worst thing you can say to the enemy is nothing at all. Just, you know, shun the enemy and try to increase communication with your, you know, the assets and the allies, and
try
do a little bit each day. Whatever you did yesterday, try to improve a little bit the next day, and after a while you'll achieve some goals. But all the political entities are having problems with people that among their ranks that are not putting out as much as they should, and a lot of it is maybe they don't have the skills. I don't know what.
Right. Absolutely. One question I've got for you, Ken, before I let you go, if you feel like telling us, but anyway, I just wondered what. There's a lot of stuff about the new 5G out there, and I'm not sure how familiar you are with it, but just real quick. Is it something we need to be concerned with or not? What's just your opinion?
Well, it's like another version of Windows that we have to jump hoops into. I would try to avoid it as long as possible. I think we ought to be going back I think we got more than we need with 4G, and I've always entertained the idea of something called Packet Express, where you go back to the bulletin board technology and just send just send files. You know, pick out your Intel sources and send your data, and not get on the internet where everything you do is spied on. So I think we need to go back in technology in some areas, but we'll see. You know, I see no advantage to going to 5G is just like the Windows Microsoft versions. It's just another way for them to spy on you. I would avoid it like the plague.
Well, yeah, I think we're racing forward. When your government officials say we're not going to wait around for any of the health watchdog groups or any oversight committees within government for safety, we're going to go full speed ahead, regardless of what they might say or do. That's not a good thing.
Yeah, there's documentaries on YouTube where it's known to just, you know, fry people. I don't see how they're meeting the FCC requirements, putting out all the electronic noise. Anytime you buy some electronic equipment, it's got FCC requirements that have to be met. And here they are, they got the smart meters and the 5G, and it's just like continuous EMI.
Right.
We've really maxed out on the technology. You know, you got voicemail and text mail, email, and all kinds of audio video technology. And what I'm finding is people that don't even know how to send and receive email. What good is 5G going to do somebody that doesn't know how to send and receive email?
Well, I think it's the Internet of Things, and it's the controllers who want the 5G, the marketers, the merchants, the bankers, and government people that want 5G. It's not necessarily you and me. I don't think it's going to do us that much good. It's for the Internet of Things and a great big, literally, an electronic net over the sheep by the wolves in corporate America and government. So that's my problem. And the other thing people need to remember, there's a thing called a microwave oven. And for you folks out there that don't know how it works, do a search on YouTube on just how does it work. Take a look at that on how a microwave oven works, and remember that the frequency of that energy that's heating up your food in that microwave is not all that much different than the wavelengths that are coming out of these towers. Now, they're different in their power level, but they're of the same frequency, and it's able to heat up the internal. Huh?
I think, what is it, 2 gigahertz?
No, 5G. Oh, well, 5G is going to be operating anywhere from 25 to somewhere close to 90 gigahertz. You're talking very tiny wavelengths. So, you know, that's why I'm saying, you know, if you can cause a piece of meat to heat up and cook from the inside with a thing in your kitchen called a microwave, and this technology is very similar to what's on that tower, it's just a matter of power. If they turned up the power, it would do something similar to us. Now, a lot of people say, well, it doesn't work on that power range, but that's not the point. Could it operate on that power range? That's the question you should be asking. Yeah, maybe at a low power level, it will actually aid in communications or whatever. But what happens when you crank up the RF power level? Just something to think about. It's just like in nuclear power with radiation. There's radiation in the atmosphere. You can't escape radiation. It's everywhere. The sun gives off radiation. Granite gives off radiation. A pile of coal that you burn in your furnace gives off radiation, okay? Lots of things give off radiation. The problem happens when you concentrate it and you increase the power of it, what it starts doing to the body, the intensity of it. Your body can handle it.
Look at what they did to Paradise, California.
Exactly. Exactly. That was directed energy.
No doubt about it. And probably a loss of life, about 30,000 or better. And
they lost their homes and property.
Yeah, vaporized. Nothing left. Porcelain commodes are vaporized.
Yeah, it's ridiculous what they expect us to believe. It's totally ridiculous. We are being weaponized. They have weaponized different things, including microwave. And what I can't figure out is how people with a brain that still functions buys the bullshit that the media and the government put out. That just floors me. How people that have a brain that even functions at any level can believe the cockamamie stories that these morons put out there and just ignore common sense, what you see with your own eyes, and even what the firemen there said, that these are not natural forest fires and fires. They're not natural. They didn't say what it was because they weren't sure, but what they did know is that these were not natural fires because they're firefighters. They go to the fires like these all the time. That's how they could tell 9/11 was not two planes hitting a building and it coming down. There's all kinds of accidents of planes recorded across the earth for many decades now. And none of them even come close to what happened on 9/11. Not even close. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this stuff out. That's what's amazing. It really doesn't. And yet people want to believe the lie. Is it cowardice? Is it laziness? Is it apathy? Or is it all the above? Who the hell knows? But anyway, we got to jump off here for tonight. So Kenny, any closing remarks, bud?
Well, just keep up with the truth movement. I keep downloading YouTube videos as fast as I can, and a lot of the stuff I've downloaded gets taken down, so it's up to us to load it back up and find another alternative to get it out. But
I recommend BitChute.
BitChute, yeah. Well, I don't know how to do. I've done BitChute a time or two, but I'm not proficient on that yet. I need to work on that.
That's where I put my videos.
BitChute. Well, I'll just have to get up to speed on it.
Yeah, it's not hard.
Anyway, yeah, it's good to be back on the show again.
Yeah, good hearing from you, and give my best to your to Jimmy and any of the other patriots that are in your area there. So, but onward and upward, brother. Yahweh bless your heart. Thanks for calling in.
Well, we've come a long way since the long wires and the shortwave radio. I remember when you could record your own shows.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
We had to put them on a DVD and put them in the mail to you.
Yeah, it's been a long 20 years, buddy.
Yeah.
Take care. Yahweh
bless.
Yeah,
Jimmy's still cranking out the email. Talk to you later.
All right. Yahweh bless. Yeah, good Kenny from Mississippi there, him and Jimmy. They've been with me since the beginning, way back in Heritage Broadcasting days and Republic Radio days and Reality Radio and, oh, my gosh, Live 365 days. Oh, my gosh, the distance we've traveled. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this time together. We thank you for Kenny calling in and Gary and their families and loved ones. Watch over them. Watch over all of our brothers and sisters in these troubling times. Your children hear your voice, Father. We're opening up the door. We have invited you in. Come into our lives, and if we have any unclean thing in us, then purge it out. if we do our due diligence and we're doing things right, then lift us up and give us strength and courage. Give us good discernment that we can see through all the lies and deceptions. Give us the energy and the willpower to help our fellows out, our fellow man and women of our faith and race, but even those that are not of our race. So good people deserve to be treated well. And just like the woman in Matthew, if everybody recognizes their proper position and is willing to take direction from you, Father, and get in line, then there's blessings for everybody. As you said in Scripture, those that curse Abraham will be cursed. Those who bless Abraham will be blessed. And Abraham, of course, we know is not a Jew. Abraham is an Aryan white man. So those who bless the white race will be blessed, and those who curse the white race will be cursed. One way or the other, they will be cursed. So again, thank you, Father, and forgive us our sins, and walk with us, and teach us, and guide us, discipline us when we need it, and always protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.